This is Follow Spot, San Diego Theater Scene's bi-weekly podcast focused on the people who make theater in San Diego County, with news, views, and conversation to inform you of what's happening in San Diego's exciting theater community. And now here is your host, Dale Morris.
Welcome to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot's broadcast for another week. I'm sitting here with Kelly Lipchinski and Michael Thomas Tower, and we welcome you to another podcast featuring this week another community theater that I think of in San Diego is really on the rise for reasons that we've talked about at length on these podcasts. The community theaters here are really taking steps up. The bar is being raised all over San Diego with our community theaters, and I think that's something that we can all be very proud of. And today we're talking with Vesta. Vesta, I didn't get your last name. I apologize.
That's all right. Gleisner.
Vesta Gleisner, who's the director of A Shot in the Dark, which is at the present time playing at Patio Playhouse.
Correct.
In Escondido. And welcome, Vesta. So glad to have you here. We'll chat with you about that show. And also, we're happy to have Carla. Carla, your last name is dear?
Tillman.
Carla Tillman, who is the star of A Shot in the Dark. And I just found out a few minutes ago that she's literally been in theater all her life, having popped out on stage, in her words, popped out on stage. What was that, the final show of your mother's?
Yes, my mother's last show that she ever did. Yeah. I was supposed to be born 11 days later.
Yeah, and you just came out for the applause.
I did.
Yeah, well, good for you. What's your character's name in A Shot in the Dark?
Josepha Lontanay.
Yeah, and we were just talking a few minutes ago that Julie Harris and William Shatner and Walter Matthau ran this play for over 300 performances on Broadway. It must be pretty nice to be filling the shoes of Julie Harris. Huh?
It was pretty stressful when I first heard about it, but you know, it's been fun. It's been a blast.
Yeah, the show runs September 19th through October 12th, so you've got eight more performances?
Yeah.
Eight more performances. And we'd like to urge everyone to get that stigma of community theater out of your head, because the community theaters in San Diego are doing some fine, fine work, and they deserve your support. Carla, what's it like? So you got cast. How did you get cast in this show?
I actually have no idea. I went to the audition, and I saw the other actors. The other actresses that showed up were just amazing. And so I went home kind of sad, you know, and I decided to show up the second night. And that night at midnight, around midnight, I got a call from Vesta offering me the role, and I just jumped up and down. My husband was in Seattle, so I called him up, and I called my best friend. I called everybody, telling them that I had gotten a lead.
Yeah, what is it about this play? I'm sure you would have been happy to be cast in any role, but what is it about this play that you're so happy to be a part of it?
Well, it's so well written. I'm not generally a funny person, but with the words that Josepha says, just facial expressions come out. You know, she apologizes for everything she says, and so I just make big facial expressions, and people start laughing. So
the audiences are enjoying the performances then?
Yeah. Generally, you know, being such a wordy play, you would expect people to just kind of be bored from it. But Vesta has done such a sensational job with the blocking and giving people certain cues at certain times that it's hilarious.
Vesta, we hear this phrase all the time in this business. It's a wordy play. It's a wordy. Well, of course, it's a wordy play. They've all got words in them. But why do we say that, Vesta?
Well, mostly in shows like this, there are no fireworks. There is no special anything. It's the words that are important. It harkens back to the old shows where you really had to listen to understand what was going on to catch the humor. There's no special effects. There's no
It's the old-time theater. I mean,
It's just it's just wonderful for the heart to actually listen to things, hear what's going on, catch it.
and it's
and enjoy it.
Yeah, and when you've got a wordy play, your actors have to be on the ball.
They absolutely do. You have to have good people that know how to interpret, that understand what you're asking of them, and what the vision of the show is.
Yeah. Now you've actually directed this show before up in Ramona.
I did.
How did Patio Playhouse? How did they find you?
Well, I found them
actually. That's okay.
Quite some time ago, about 10 years ago, I moved to Escondido, and theater's always been the staple of my life, and I found Patio Playhouse and was cast in a show there, and then moved to New Mexico, and when I came back, it was the first place I went. They're wonderful people there, they're welcoming, they embrace you in all forms.
We had invited one of the honchos, Kevin Jones, to be with us, but he couldn't be with us, and I was going to ask him about community theater and that stigma that people have, oh, it's just community theater.
Well, you know, I hear that a lot. And in fact, I had some friends that came to see the show and they said they were expecting a high school performance.
Yeah.
And that isn't what they got. They got a very professional level performance. And you have a lot of actors with excellent backgrounds that hone their craft in community theater. And that's what it's there for. If you have a house under 99 people, equity actors can act. They just don't use their name. And you get a lot of really excellent people. People that were on track to become quote-unquote professionals.
Yeah.
And
the realities of making a living got in the way.
Right, exactly. But they still love what they do, and they still do it with perfection. And that's, community theater gathers those people.
Well, and it just stands to reason that Patio Playhouse has been around year after year after
60,
year.
40 some years.
Yeah, it's just can't make it, can they? and you know, so it's obvious that they've got wide community support. And what have audiences been like? Have you had good audiences every night?
We have had. We have a wonderful event in Escondido called Cruising Grand on Friday nights that does interrupt our audiences.
Stop that!
But fortunately, they end the end of September, so from there on, we're okay.
Yeah.
But so we've got very full houses coming up. We weren't full the first weekend, but that's all right.
So
we usually get three-quarters to full houses.
Yeah, well, we urge our listeners to please get out there and see this show. Carla, what was the most difficult thing about doing the role of Josephia?
Well, for me it was the levels that she has. Because in the surface, she is an idiot. She's a total idiot. But at the end, you know, she's the one that helps solve the mystery. She is smart, and I had to figure out a way to kind of bring that out, let the audience know that she's not, how should I say, she's not slow, she's just happy.
Ditzy?
Yeah, she's just, she's ditzy, and she's happy, and she loves life, and that was my biggest problem, was, you know, there are some parts where she does get upset, and she does get mad, and I didn't want it to shock the audience, like, oh, what's going on here? I wanted to show those levels, and in that perspective, it was kind of hard.
Carla, I know you're married. Do you have children?
No, I don't.
You don't have children? Do you work a job during the day?
I do not.
You don't?
Well, I'm currently looking.
Well, the point I was going to raise, and it's still a valid point, even if it doesn't actually apply to you, is that for many years in community theater, get that car started out there, buddy. For many years, you know, I personally worked a full-time job during the day, jumped out of the car at the rehearsal space. Kelly's shaking her, nodding her head. We all know what that's like. I mean, year after year after year, your weekends and your evenings are taken up with theater, but you still got to make a living during the day. And that's what most, you know, not just community theater actors, but even actors who we think of in the smaller professional theaters around town. I mean, the small theaters like Compass Theater, for instance, we can't pay a reasonable working wage, you know, and most other theaters around town cannot either. And so these actors and directors, I might add, and the volunteers at Patio Playhouse, Onstage Playhouse, Coronado Playhouse, you know, are to be commended for that.
It's a real disruption to your life, if you want to put it that way, as far as you work all day, you're tired, you come in, and you still have to have that extraordinary energy that it takes to do something on stage or backstage.
You betcha. Yeah.
That's the magic of theater, though. On Saturday, an hour before the show opened, one of my best friends died. And I heard about it an hour before the show, and I was crying backstage, but as soon as my feet hit that stage, I'm Josepha.
Yeah.
And I'm smiling and perky, and nobody knows what's going on backstage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the magic of theater.
Yeah, good point, Carla. Now, if somebody wanted to buy a ticket to see A Shot in the Dark, which is running through October 12th, how would they do it, Vesta?
Well, they can do it several ways. If you want to use your credit card, you can go through Ticket Leap.
Okay.
We are affiliated with them.
Is that www Ticket Leap, or do they go to www.patioplayhouse.org? Is that they go to your website?
If they go to the website, we have a link to Ticket Leap.
There you go, and
yes.
That's www.patioplayhouse.org.
That's correct.
And yes. How else can they do it?
You can contact us by phone 760-746-6669.
Okay, well, and is that it? Or just drive up and buy a ticket at the door?
Yeah, but it's patioplayhouse.com, not org.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Okay, are you sure, dear? It says patioplayhouse.org on the thingy.
Oh, it says com. Okay.
That's okay. I believe.
The printed material says org.
You know, we trust the printed matter.
You can only believe half of what you read.
I think it's www.patioplayhouse.org.
Okay,
or
fine.
You can call 760-746-6669. Carla, what's next for you? Do you know? Are you going to audition?
I don't. I have a few auditions lined up, but... You know, theater, you always have to find the right person, and sometimes you're not the right person.
You know, we all go through that. We all go through that. I got to tell this story real quick. I got cast on a show that used to be here in town called Silk Stockings. We went to the auditions. I went in, I auditioned before the producers. By the time I got home, I'd already been called to say that I had the role. I was just, I was on top of the world. Yay, I got this role. Well, I showed up on the set the next day or whenever it was, and I was playing the father of this kid, and the kid looked just like me. The only reason I was cast.
Well, you never know.
Is because, well, I could talk. And I looked like this kid. You know, it had nothing to do with my superior acting skill. So, you know, we all go through that.
That's
just
something
a part
as
of
a director that I try to tell actors who get discouraged because they don't get cast. The director has to look at everything, and things like you matching that child.
That's right.
Are important to the director. So if he's got a lot of good actors, the director can afford to match them up perfectly.
Yes. So if
you, it doesn't mean you can't act.
No. Well, whenever I'm rejected, that's exactly what I feel like. I can't act. I'm ugly. I'm fat. They don't want me. And I smell.
Well, on the actor's side, I've been there, too.
So, well, okay, so what we're saying to you is that you don't have to feel like me, you don't have to feel rejected,
oh, absolutely
you just didn't
not.
fit the role.
Right,
of course,
exactly.
None of us are going to do that. We're all going to think we suck, but
I have too big of an ego. I've always just felt there was just something with this show that I
absolutely.
It's something, that director has no vision whatsoever.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, please go see A Shot in the Dark. Once again, it is playing at Patio Playhouse. Our guests today have been Carla Tillman and Vesna Glasner, did I say that
Glasner,
right?
Glasner, yes.
Vesta. And Vesta, have you got a directing gig coming up after this?
Or? Nothing I have plans for. I'm going to take a little vacation.
Well, have a good vacation. please go see A Shot in the Dark. The webpage, again, is www.patioplayhouse.org. And the telephone number is 760-746-6669. It will be worth a trip to Escondido. Have a good day, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Extraordinary terror lurks behind the commonplace smiles of seemingly everyday people. And on the grounds of a psychiatric hospital, two brothers face off over dark secrets that threaten to unravel them both. Two startling plays by acclaimed writer Neil LaBute, Bash, and the West Coast premiere of In a Dark, Dark House, playing in rep at Ion Theater, now through November 1st, IonTheater.com.
Michael, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. How's everything going with Backwater Blues?
Going very well. Rehearsals are in full swing, and I went yesterday to see one of the dance numbers that I hadn't seen yet, the Toad Lake Shuffle.
The Toad Leg Shuffle.
Toad Lake Shuffle.
Toad Lake Shuffle.
Yes, Toad Lake being the setting. Where
that's
the
toad as in fraud.
Yes.
All right, now I'm going to have to skip this show. I'm afraid of frogs.
We don't have any on stage. They didn't get talked about.
What did you think about the dance number?
Oh, they're doing great. Elisa Williams is the choreographer, and she swears she can take anybody, whether they're a dancer or not, and make a dancer out of them, or at least make it look like they're dancing.
Yeah, she doesn't want to see you and me up
there. She isn't even asked for us. But no, they're doing a great job, and we did a sing-through the other day that went very well. So.
Good.
Things are going great.
We're talking about Backwater Blues, which is Michael Thomas Tower's new musical, along with his co-author, David Newcomer, that opens at Compass Theater as a part of our Q Play series on
October 26th.
October 26th, so keep that one in mind. Kelly, real quick, what's doing with your festival? What's happening?
Oh, wow, I've got a lot going on. The festival has signed a contract for another year, so it's official. We're coming back. I've paid the deposit on the space, and we've got our dates picked out. We've got our audition dates, submission dates, all that coming up. In fact, October we'll be calling for original submissions for playwrights of short pieces.
These short pieces, what are we talking about, 10, 15, 20
minutes?
Yeah,
about 10, 15. Yeah. 10, 15. 20 is probably a bit much because we like to represent as many authors as we can. Yeah. But
Well, and what's the website for that?
PerspectiveFest.com.
PerspectiveFest.com. If you've got an original play you want to submit this year, or if you want to act or direct or be a tech.
Absolutely. Anything you want to do with Perspective Fest. I think a lot of people know about us now. Last year we were new, but people have heard about us since then, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people who want to be involved this year.
All right, well, good luck with that. We're lucky today to have Jane Stimmel with us. She works all kinds of different shores for another community theater that we'd like to talk about today, and that's Fallbrook Players from that distant place up north near Temecula, Fallbrook. And thank you, Jane, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You're doing Noises Off right now, I know, which is Michael Frayn's comedy hit, and it's running September 26th through October 5th, so you've only got a few more shows to do with that.
Three more,
and how are audiences so far for you?
Well, they've been really good, and Saturday night especially, we had another theater group from Temecula come down, CYT came.
Yeah.
And those kids laughed and laughed and laughed until I had tears in my eyes up in the booth because they found things funny that we hadn't yet.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not that we hadn't, but just new perspectives. Yeah. And it was so much fun. When the audience is good and they're enjoying it, it's more fun for everybody.
Well, Noises Off is such a hoot anyway, you know.
Are you kidding?
It's
just chaos.
Yeah. Well, we urge people to take a chance on the drive up to Fallbrook. What did you tell me just a few minutes ago? It says you're getting most of your audiences from Fallbrook, but you told me that's a shame, right?
It is. We do great stuff. We have a lot of talent there. There's actually three theater groups in that small town. Did you want to know that?
No.
That's how much talent we have, and they're all busy. They all stay busy, and we do great stuff. And our house is full almost all the time. We rent the Mission Theater there, which is a beautiful, restored theater.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 306 seats in that. My little theater, Compass Theater, the one that all of us work with, we have 49 seats.
Well, why don't you come up and visit us?
Well, probably, you know, I could take my whole theater up there and fit it in.
Yeah. I was here in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's through traffic. So, come on, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Go up to see Noises Off. Now, you've got, like, your whole family working on this play.
Yeah. And that's what we love about community theater is... I always enjoyed theater and went to the theater, but I really thought my kids were going to be athletes, because that's what I was. And lo and behold, don't you know, there are actresses. They're young, 10 and 12.
Yeah.
And that's all they want to do. And so what's mom and dad going to do? We're going to help out. So even though our kids aren't involved other than spotlights in this, it's still community theater. We still need to pitch in to make it happen.
Good for you. And in our earlier segment, we talked about community theater. And almost every week, the mantra of the show has something to do with community theater. And so you're, for instance, on Noises Off, you're doing the publicity. You're doing the sound for the show. You're in the booth every night.
I am.
Dealing with the sound. You're like the webmaster for the website.
Master is loosely, but I do maintain the website, yes.
And what is that website?
Fallbrookplayers.com.
Fallbrookplayers.com. And if someone wanted to buy a ticket to Noises Off, is that where we would go?
No, actually, we don't provide tickets via the website. You would call 760-731-2278, which is the Mission Theater box office. Or you can come the night of the performance.
All right.
Or day, if you come Sunday.
Well, get out there to see Noises Off. And Luann, what is that?
Luann is Scenes from a Teen's Life. It's written by Greg Evans, who is the creator of the very popular, very famous, beloved comic strip. He lives in San Marcos in North County.
Luann. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
It opens October 17th and runs through the 26th. Mm-hmm. So that's up next. And what's that all about?
It's all about... teenagers.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I saw it at Palomar College and approached Greg and said, how's somebody else get to do this? Because he isn't represented yet by MTI or any of the other big houses. It's still sort of in a workshop phase a little bit, where he's tweaking things and tweaking music and all that. So the kids are very lucky to be involved in something like that, because that doesn't come around very often.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
And this moves me to where I want to go. With this conversation, because really what you guys are concentrating on are the educational programs. Is that right?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're getting famous for out there.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your educational program and how it works?
Well, we have two different phases. We have one that runs mostly in the summertime with workshops. We bring in some great people to teach the kids. We had Becky Cherlin Baird not too long ago. I don't know if you remember her. She founded the J Company.
Yes.
She did an audition workshop. We've had Diane Feldhaus teaching the kids the backstage stuff and front stage, the choreography of dressing, which was really fun. And we do improv. Brian Weissman from Patio that we were just, he'll be doing a summer workshop with Susan Korean, who is in Noises Off, because they're just funny people.
Yeah.
So we do that in the summer. Also, if you go to our website, you can click on the link School Shows, and you can find a full curriculum for almost every show we do. We don't have one for Noises Off, but for our youth theater, we always have a school curriculum.
Tell us about that curriculum. No, don't tell us about that curriculum.
Well, it's all-encompassing, especially for teachers or homeschoolers or just parents that want to continue on with what the children are about to see or have seen. There's resources. There's books you can buy or go to the library and get. You can download music sometimes or buy the CD via MP3. And it just talks about the background and how to, different perspectives you can take on what you're about to see or have seen.
Yeah, you know, Michael, we didn't have this kind of thing when we were kids, you know?
Not where I was.
Not where I was either. And I was in Tennessee. I was in Chicago. I mean, Chicago, it wasn't exactly, backward. And there was nothing like this that I recall going on. I think kids are so bloody lucky. Yeah.
Well, when you talk about the curriculum, are they learning about theater, or are they learning about the background of the story?
During the curriculum, there is a little blurb about theater etiquette, which a lot of kids, if you haven't been, how do you know?
Good. Good. Tell them about candy wrappers.
you on that. It is mostly about the background, either of the era of the performance. You know, for instance, when we did Annie Warbucks, there was a lot of information about the Depression because that, well, that was the background for the show. And it also gives the teachers a great rationale to take their kids to see something like that. They can document it under those California state standards that look at these things that, you know, will be learned from this.
Do the kids pay? Do the parents? Is this? Do the parents pay for the? I'm assuming they pay to get their kids into this program.
No, usually it's the PTAs, or we have some great charities up in Fallbrook. The Angel Society has been gracious enough to send Fallbrook Street School a few times, because you know a lot of times the kids can't afford to go.
So you guys do this for free?
Well, no. The Angel Shop sponsors them.
Sponsors.
Yeah, because we have to pay for the rental
of
the theater. Yes.
Is the theater nonprofit?
I don't know. Fallbrook Players is nonprofit.
Okay. Yeah,
and they rent the theater. Yeah, yes. Sure. Yeah. This is a fabulous opportunity for children. Now, it's not just for Fallbrook area kids then.
No. Any schools can come. We've had Vista schools before and Temecula schools.
How would someone, if they were interested in bringing their children to this or bringing their classes to this, how would they find you?
FallbrookPlayers.com and click on school shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the upcoming shows there that you're telling me that these kids, you fill, every time you do a kid's show, you fill it up.
Yes, yeah, well, they're very, very popular. Well, we do fun stuff, too. We have cats coming up in the spring.
And you're casting that from your local community?
We are, and it'll be fabulous. And it's going to be for ages 8 to 18.
Yeah.
So, you know, kids don't usually get an opportunity to do something that full. You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you mean that the cast will be from 8 to 18?
Yes.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to develop great actors and actresses if you don't give them hard material to do? That's our philosophy. It's not all about the audience. The audience is going to be delighted, certainly. But come on, these kids want to put on some cat makeup and have fun. So we're going to be doing that.
And what's next after cast?
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
You're going to do Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Hello, we're going to do it all. We have fun up there.
yes, you are.
None of that pansy-mansy stuff for us.
So you cast from your group of kids that you've got that fit into the 8 to 18 category,
mm-hmm.
do you do double casting or anything like
no,
that?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No, because it takes a lot of time to really get into your character and learn what you're doing. And double casting, I think that's hard on the directors. I think that's, you know, it's maybe better on your wallet because you're collecting the cast fees, but it's not what we do.
Yeah, so you're training young actors to act.
Yes.
You're training them with the backstage, the workings of the backstage, the workings of the sound booth. This is valuable, valuable training.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think you're all to be congratulated for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. What we're talking today with Jane Stimmel, who is a jack of all trades, a Jane of all trades, at Fallbrook's Players, and at the present time, Fallbrook Players is presenting the comedy Noises Off, and if you haven't seen Noises Off, I really recommend that you go and see it because it is a hoot. You can buy a ticket, Jane, by calling
760-731-2278.
Jane, we thank you very much for being with us today, and we look forward. I would love for you to come back when you've got more to talk about with Luann, mm-hmm. and maybe if you could bring Craig along with you, wouldn't that be a
wonderful
thing to
bring some of the actors that could do a scene for us?
Oh, bring some of the actors who could do a scene for us.
You got
yeah,
it.
You, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you.
All right.
In the summer of 1964, four middle-aged black women travel by city bus to a whites-only eating establishment to test their newly acquired civil rights by eating at a downtown Atlanta lunch counter. Common Ground Theater presents Waiting to Be Invited at the Educational Cultural Complex on Ocean View Boulevard, opening October 10th and running weekends through November 2nd. For more information, call 619-263-7911 or visit commongroundtheater.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast for another week. Actually, for another bye week. We're running our podcast every 2 weeks now, and we would love your input. You can reach us by phone at 619-688-9210, or you can go to our, Michael, what we've got a section on the website that they can click on, right?
Yes, on the podcast directory page, there's a little column over to the right of the listings.
Yeah, that they can...
That you can click on and send.
In fact, both of our guests today came from submitting information on the podcast directory page.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful. You can get there by going to sandiegotheaterscene.com or sdtheater.com, both the same website. Click on the podcast graphic, and it'll take you right there. Or you can call us, as I said, at 619-688-9210. I'm with Michael Tower and Kelly Lipchinski. And Kelly, how's things with you?
Busy. Right now, very busy. Yeah. I'm directing a show, producing a show, acting in a show, and producing again.
Okay. Well, good luck with all of that. And I know that you're acting. No, you're actually directing a show that Michael wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That my girlfriend Jamie is in.
Absolutely.
And what's it called again?
It's called Knowing When.
Knowing When. I've done the lines. I know the lines better than I know the title from going over the lines constantly with Jamie. So good luck with that. And that's going to be at the North Park Vaudeville Festival of Plays? Mm-hmm.
Is that the North Park Playwright Festival at North Park Vaudeville. North Park. Vaudeville and Candy Shop.
And mm-hmm. Candy Shop. And you've just got to get out. Although, you know, you probably won't get a seat. This place is about 40 seats, something like
Well,
that.
Well, don't discourage it. Friday nights are not as heavily sold out generally as Saturdays are.
Okay.
So
I'm not at all trying
to... Let's not assume it's a full house.
No, I'm trying to do a backward sales job here. That you know, you've got to get out there.
To backfire.
You got to get out there and get your seats at this place, or
give
you won't get in.
And it runs 4 consecutive weekends. Michael's play is actually on the last of the 4 weekends, October 23rd, 24th, 25th, right over there.
25th, 26th, the same weekend that Backwater Blues opens.
Yeah.
And but that actually opens the first of the 4 is this weekend, October 3rd, 4th, 5th. I'm not sure which dates are the Friday and Saturday, but
yeah, well, so give that Playwrights Festival a chance. It's really worthwhile seeing. And let's talk a little bit. Let's go around the table. What's happening around town? Kelly?
Well, one of the ones that I'm familiar with coming up pretty soon here, I think, is New Village Arts' Fool for Love. Christiane Kerner and I believe Joshua Everett Johnson's
exactly
in that with her as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's coming up pretty quick.
Fool for Love is a Sam Shepard play, and it's one of his earlier plays, and I did the role of the old man in it several years ago. And one of the things about that play that I loved was in his playwright notes right at the beginning of the, before the play starts in the playbook, he goes, this play is to be done relentlessly, or words to that effect. He said, it's to be performed relentlessly, and it's just nonstop, and the characters and the characterizations are so Sam Shepard. I mean, you can just see it all over the place. I can't wait to see, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up there or not with the... I'm in Britannicus, which I'll talk about in a minute, so I'm not sure I'll be able to get up to see it, but I urge everyone to get up to see Fool for Love at New Village Arts. Also, check out... Here's one you just got to check out. At Signet Theater on the Rolando stage, they've got a show right now called Dying City. It's directed by Fran Gehrke, who was the artistic director until recently up at New Village Arts. He is now the associate artistic director for Signet Theater, and he's directing Dying City. And there was a wonderful review of it in, I believe, yesterday's... Well, you don't know what date this is, but so it recently in the Chicago Tribune had a great... The Chicago Tribune. Yes, Our local theaters are going national.
We knew Signet was big, but not that big.
In the Union Tribune, a fabulous review, and two of the actors I know pretty well. Christy Yale, I hope I'm saying her last name right, was just performed in 3 Days of Rain at Compass Theater, and of course, Sean Cox, I was just in The Receptionist with him at Signet Theater, and this play is an unusual, dark play that the reviews say you just got to go see it. So give that show a try. What else, Michael?
Well, the two things that I've seen recently, I went over to Lamb's Players to see Light in the Piazza. I think it's still going on. I'm not sure.
I think it is.
Which was a very good production. I had seen it in Los Angeles at the Amundsen. And, of course, they can't do all of the scenery changes that we expect with the big shows at the Amundsen. But for the limitations and everything, it was really done very well. They've got an 8-piece orchestra, which really does a good job with the music, and the music really makes that show. And it was a very good production. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, get out to see The Light at the Light in the Piazza? Or just
Light in the Piazza.
Over at Lamb's Players. Kelly, what's next?
Well, you know, another thing. We talked not too long ago to Celeste Innocenti.
Yeah.
And
Innocenti.
Innocenti, that's right. And her, one of the group, she's the artistic director for, Kronos Theater Group, has their evening at the Grand Guignol coming up. I believe that's probably near the end of the month, around the 26th. I could be wrong. It could be the 17th. I've got dates flying out of my ears right now. But that's coming up. You definitely want to look up their Common, or not Common Ground, Kronos Theater. Look up Kronos Theater.
KronosTheater.com. I'll bet it is. Mm-hmm. Kronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S.
That's it.
Theater.com.
And they're doing that show at the Neurosciences Institute, where the brain work really happens.
Well, you know, they're doing good stuff. I haven't seen any of it, but I keep hearing about it, so give those folks a chance. Also, just to tell you about an upcoming production, Britannicus will be opening at Compass Theater on for previews on October 16th. I play Narcissus in it. It's directed by Miriam Cooperman. Is it Jean Racine or is it Jean Racine?
If you go French, it would be Jean.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to say it American.
Gene Racine.
Gene Racine's masterpiece, as it's called, if you go to Wikipedia. You know?
Love Wikipedia.
Yeah, me too. And it's called a masterpiece, and you can understand why. And Howard Rubenstein. Why do I do that? It's Howard Rubenstein has translated it beautifully. It's just a beautiful translation. I play Narcissus. Rich Carrillo plays Nero. It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous play, if I have to say so myself. So we hope folks will come out to see it. You can get more information about it soon at compasstheater.com. I don't think it's on the website yet, but it will be soon. And you saw something else, Michael?
Drowsy Chaperone, which is part of the Broadway series, which maybe has closed now because they're only there for a week, which was wonderful. I knew a little bit about it, but had never seen it and was very... Very surprised at what it is. It's really just an homage to everybody who loves musical theater.
Ooh!
And one of the funniest things I've ever seen in theater. And it was just a lot of fun. It's really about nothing except just having fun.
Everyone who's seen it has said that. It's all over Facebook. Everybody who's been, I saw Drowsy Chaperone. Ooh, I saw Drowsy Chaperone. Ooh, you must see Drowsy Chaperone.
I am so annoyed that I haven't seen it. I just...
Well, there's the one real love song in it. I think they give it another title, but really if you title it according to what it sounds like the song ought to be, is I Put a Monkey on a Pedestal.
Oh dear.
Well, we don't know if Drowsy Chaperone is still playing or not, but if it is, get out there and see it. And you know, I got to say that most of the stuff that comes to the Civic, only once or twice over the last 10 years have I been really disappointed at the professionalism and everything. I was terribly disappointed with the Graduate. You remember the Graduate? They brought the Graduate to the to that stage at the Civic, and I didn't like it. And there was another one. I think it was the ship that sank, the Titanic. They had a play called the Titanic, and it,
it lived up to its name.
Yeah, it sank.
Was it the musical? Or
the musical, the Titanic.
I've only seen musicals. I haven't seen any of the non-musicals that they brought there. The musicals I have seen, I've been very impressed with.
Yeah, so
far. So it was Titanic with an exclamation point and somebody looking over their shoulder winking at you. Was Titanic.
No, it just didn't work for me. Have you got anything else?
Well, Back, probably has opened already. In fact, I'm sure it has at the Globe. And that one is a world premiere. Baseball, you got to love a baseball show, so I'll take me out there a couple years back.
I've read about it. It's about steroids, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. Story of three guys making their way in the world of professional baseball, too competitive to rely solely on raw talent. That's what the card there says. We love your cards, by the way. Keep sending us these promotional cards. We love them. It says, the explosive play from the acclaimed writer of The Four of Us and Bach at Leipzig takes you behind the headlines into the locker room to witness an even more gripping confrontation you didn't see on TV as these teammates face each other and do battle for their careers, their legacies, and the future of America's favorite pastime.
And that's back at the Globe. I'll close by telling you about A Tuna Christmas. I am so happy that Compass Theater has gotten the rights to A Tuna Christmas. It's going to be directed by our managing artistic director, Josh Hyatt. It's going to star. It's a two-character romp. Farce, crazy play. It's not a farce, but it's Fred Harlow and Don Loper are going to play those two crazy Texans. And
OKKK.
And we're looking forward to that production at Compass Theater. And has anybody else got anything? Michael, we talk a little later in the show about Blackwater Blues, which is your show that's opening in October 23rd, I think you told
26th.
Me. 26th. That's our first musical in our Q Play series, a series of five plays at Compass Theater celebrating GLBT life. And Kelly, you've got the New Perspective Festival coming up.
I've got the New Perspective coming up. I'm also producing for Scripps Ranch.
What are you producing there?
The Last Night of Ballyhoo. It goes into rehearsals this week as we speak.
Who are your two main characters there?
Well, Boo Levy is being played by Jill Drexler.
Yeah.
Danny Campbell is in the cast as Adolf Freetag. Dana Hooley is in the cast. Morgan Trant as well. Yeah. So we've got a lot of good names. Evans and Danae Steele.
You know, it's another case. You know, it's just hard to call Scripps Ranch a community theater anymore with the quality of the talent that they are attracting. And
the script is written by the guy who wrote Driving Miss Daisy,
exactly.
Alfred Uhry.
Oh, so it's a famous show, and it's done well. Well, we wish all of our theaters, our community theaters, well, our small local theaters who are struggling right now to pay the bills because of donations are down, ticket sales are down. The big guys are all going to make it. They have endowments and grants and... But the small guys, Compass Theater, Signet, NVA, all of these places, Moxie, all of these theaters need your help and your support. The community theaters need your help, support, and oftentimes your labor if you're available. So thank you for paying attention to us at San Diego Theater Scene's Follow Spot podcast, and we'll be with you again in 2 weeks.
This has been Follow Spot, a podcast service of San Diego Theater Scene Incorporated, a nonprofit organization for the arts in San Diego, California. We invite you to visit our website, sdtheaterscene.com, for current comprehensive news and information about performance activities in San Diego County. Your host for this program has been Dale Morris, assisted by Kelly Lapchinsky, who is also program coordinator, and Michael Thomas Tower, who is also engineer and announcer. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to your being with us again soon.